You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So at the moment, we're calling for expressions of interest for three sites across Auckland for the installation of temporary public artworks. How that came about, these artworks are going to be created in the context of Auckland Council's regional public artwork program. Now that regional public artwork program is typically made up of projects that are permanent, and so it's an investment in an asset or infrastructure that's intended to have a long lifespan, possibly a minimum of about 15 years. And some of these assets, like we've got assets in the collection that created in 1970. So it's an example of the type of work, but also the length that these assets tend to stick around. So as a result of those creation of those permanent public artworks, those opportunities tend to go to more established artists, and the reason for that being is just because you are creating permanent assets that are going to stick around for a really long time. So it's like creating any asset, and this is an opportunity for emerging artists by creating temporary public artworks. It gives emerging artists an opportunity to get involved, build some capability, create some work in public space, which is very, very different than the type of work that artists are often creating, for visual artists in particular, which is often for a gallery audience. So there's some capability building here. The other side of this is there are two other bits to it. Is that part of that regional work program, we're often looking at priority areas, and the ways of prioritising is looking at the geographic spread of the council's public art collection. There are around 400 works in that collection at the moment, and we're often looking at where there might be gaps and some of the areas of Auckland that there are opportunities to maybe fill in some of those gaps. As you can imagine, there's a large concentration of works in the city centre. That would be the same in any city, but the sites that we've prioritised where we've recognised that there's maybe an opportunity to give a bit of love to other parts of Auckland. And the other part of looking, selecting these sites is that because of the suffrage anniversary, the 125th anniversary of the suffrage movement, we've taken that as an opportunity to look at a wider program of work around recognising that anniversary. That's not just happening through our public art work program, but in these particular opportunities are part of that program. So we've selected the sites based on some kind of connection, not to necessarily to that movement, but to strong women.
And so the three sites you've chosen for the artwork to be displayed at is Onehunga, Howick and Takapuna. Can you tell us the significance of each of these places?
As I said earlier, all three sites have a connection with the history of strong women. Well, Tintacks and Crawford do. In Killarney Park, it's a site that's been a constant place where women have been commemorated, although it's not necessarily a direct site of significance. So I'll just go through the sites one by one. Tintacks Reserve in Onehunga. So the site has a playground, some park benches and a Plunkett Play Centre at the back of the park. Plunkett has a long history of working with New Zealand mothers, and Onehunga had the first female mayor in the British Empire, a woman called Elizabeth Yates, who was mayor of the Onehunga borough in 1893. And from a recent Metro magazine article called Women's Work, Yates was the most talked about woman in 1894 and caricatured in a dozen magazines, very occasionally in a flattering light, most often as a nag or a shrew. But just 1 year in power, she liquidated Onehunga's debt, upgraded the roads, footpaths and sanitation. So incredibly effective figure that not many people know about. Killarney Park in Takapuna. So this Killarney Park is near the Pump House Theatre, just a reference for people who are listening in, has a long history, this park, of suffrage commemoration with several tree plantings in the park by the National Council of Women. There are a small grove of camellias in Killarney Park to acknowledge the women of the past and for the women of the future. There's a park bench there that also commemorates the women of today who carry on the work of the suffrage movement. There's a Kate Shepherd camellia cluster sited midway up the slope overlooking Lake Pupukimoana, and was installed by the National Council of Women during suffrage year, one of the suffrage years. Site 3, Crawford Reserve in Howick. It was redeveloped in 2008 as a site for rest, creation and musical performance. And there's a small grassed area at the entrance that overlooks the performance area, and it with views out to the harbour, also visible from the road. So one of the selection criteria is also places that people can see and places that people go, obviously, because we want people to actually access the, you know, what artworks are created. And Howick has strong links to its heritage and its pioneering women. And in the surrounding areas, there's Amelia Maud Nixon Garden of Memories, which holds a statue in memoriam of the pioneering woman. In 1847, Amelia Maud Nixon Garden tribute as a woman was a visionary person who wanted to provide an opportunity to promote goodwill between all people by fostering understanding of the early settlers, pioneer women and the traditions of Māori, particularly Ngātai. So that's a brief overview of those three sites and the consideration that's gone into selecting them. So as I said, there's a connection to these powerful or strong women, and the sites are accessible, they're visible, and they fill in gaps where there are not a lot of public artworks in the city's public art collection, and they provide opportunities to emerging artists who don't always get opportunities through our permanent public art work program.
So the project statement is a quote by Kate Shepherd: "All that separates, whether a race, class, creed or sex, is inhuman and must be overcome." Do you think Aotearoa is embodying this right now?
The question is a provocation. It's deliberate provocation in a way, and I suppose it's framing up a context within which these works will be created. My personal opinion is that the whole world has a long way to go in that respect. That is my personal opinion. But it is also my personal opinion that there are incredible women who show incredible leadership, who today and who have shown incredible leadership and who will do so in the future, and this is an opportunity to recognise and celebrate that.
And so one of the powerful underlying messages of the suffrage is of leadership and emancipation. How do you hope to have this message reflected through your art exhibitions?
So through temporary public art works that we've been talking about, we hope that through the framing up of a very clear brief that's gone out through the call for expression of interest, that is what people will respond to. Those expressions of interest will be assessed with that lens across it, and then the ideas that have come forward will be developed as concepts for delivery. So I expect that through that process and that concept being front of mind, that we will get responses from artists that speak to that. What those look like, I can't say, because that is the concepts that come through will drive the details. What I can say is that we've specifically requested concepts that reference that idea, and so we expect that those will be the ideas that come back to us, and we're very, very excited to see how artists respond to that.
Do you think both past and present best reflects what Kate Shepherd aspired for New Zealand?
I think there have been numerous individuals over the course of our history. Clearly Kate Shepherd was very important, but there are a lot of women at that time that were as important as Kate. She's perhaps the person that we know the most about, but some are, you know, the stories around mana wahine leadership at that time are incredible, and they're just not stories that we necessarily know about. So I think within our wider program that's looking at this anniversary, we have chosen to celebrate female leadership in the history of this country. So there will be several of those stories coming through in that program, not just through the public artworks, these temporary public artworks, but through exhibitions, panel discussions, musical performances. And they will highlight some of those stories, but they're not all of the story. And they're certainly not going to be able to tell all the stories of those women that are present today who are playing those roles at various levels. You know, some very noticeable, as in our Prime Minister, but some of those unheralded, unheard of stories at a grassroots community level that are equally as important in their own way. This is an opportunity to shine a spotlight on those stories in general and for us to begin that conversation.
And so do you have any other final comments or anything else you'd like to add?
One final comment, there is also a fourth site, which is in Pukekohe. This is part of the temporary public artwork program, but it's not part of the EOI because it's actually an existing opportunity that we're already working away on, and it fits nicely within the suite of works. And that it's 163 King Street in Pukekohe, and we're looking at it's the town centre area. And the other thing that I would like to say about all four of those opportunities is that because these works are temporary, there is a permanent aspect, and that is the foundations for these artwork, permanent structures. So they're fixed to the ground and there will be some lighting so that when the 5 years is up, which is the expected lifespan of these temporary public artworks, we'll be able to provide future opportunities to other emerging artists. So beginning to build a program of temporary public artworks across the city through these four works and the opportunity this provides to begin to progress a program of work like that.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.